Thank you, Brian and Saman, and welcome all of you, and it's a great privilege to be here. Also welcome to our brothers and sisters from online Darlington joining us today. Welcome. We're going to read through, we've read through Acts 16. It's a reading for tomorrow. Exhortation from that. We know that Acts 16 is the beginning of Ecclesia in Philippi, and it is the conversion of Lydia and Rahul, and when Paul being put in prison and the prison keeper being converted and baptized with his whole family that night. And so it's the basis of the Ecclesia in Philippi again. And we know that the city is not only occupied by Romans, it is also a city where soldiers are predominantly based. It is a military zone city with a strong Roman military presence. And we can see how brave Paul is challenging the people who live in that city. It's a brave, move from him, and it's a strong Roman tradition, and the training of people there are based on military background. We just read in 21, verse 21, that Paul is teaching customs which are not lawful for us to receive, they said, neither to observe in Rome. So Paul was accused of teaching opposite to what Philippians believe. And we also read in verse 7 that whom Jason had received and do contrary to the decrees of Caesar, saying that there is another king, one Jesus. And you know that people there consider Caesar as their Lord and their Savior. And it's all embedded in their mind, and they always be reminded by it each time they draw money, because it's written in their coin. So the money that they use, it tells that Caesar is their Lord and Savior. So it's a very bold move from Paul. Going there and preaching about the Lord Jesus. And of course, we know that what Paul is teaching is Jesus is the only Lord and our only Savior. So you can see that's very opposite. Paul's coming to that city heavily, trained by all this teaching about Caesar, and, Paul is teaching people that city are radical and hard to accept from those who lives in there. So yeah, it's a totally opposite and against the imperial code of that city. And Paul is teaching that by encouraging believers to accept Jesus through baptism, that they will become a citizen of spiritual Israel. So this is a big challenge for Paul. Paul and Silas. We know that Silas is also his helper. And like I said, it's their beliefs and their tradition is very different from Paul's teaching. But I think people realize that Paul's teaching is a matter of life and death. There is something to it. And so the people responded to that. And thinking of those times when Paul and Silas, just a question that I'm thinking, do you think, are we more privileged than those first century ecclesia or converts in Derbe and Lystra? I think we also have a different situation, but it seems like we all have very similar relatable difficulties in their time than our time. Or we have different trials in life as a Christian compared to them and us now. So, similar to them, we could be approached by other Christians to believe what, or other religion to believe what they believe with, you know, although it doesn't happen to us, but maybe some threatening condition, maybe in some country happens, that they will threaten you, that they will kind of like harass you to just join their belief. And some of us in other forms of government as well, people, you know, are forced to believe the government's religion. Again, maybe this is isolated, but it doesn't happen here. But maybe in some countries we know that. And obviously not giving people freedom to choose. But I think in God's help, we will be confident. And if we remain faithful to that we what we believe now, it's true. For we believe in like what all believe. One Lord Jesus, who is our Savior, the only Son of God, which we have learned from our readings, our hearing from our Bible study, from the brethren and sisters who speak to us about the gospel, and obviously about reading our Bible. Like I said, it may or may not happen to any of us in our generation, but if it did, do you think you would be encouraged to give up what we believe in as a Christadelphian? Do you think you would believe in the belief of what many people does? And there are people believe in their ruler, like the Romans do. And many countries in parallel. And we are being asked to encourage by those same concept of giving up to our belief and join the world that we live in now. And that is why I think we are in no difference with those first century ecclesia. We have different times, but we go through the same decision, the same trials, although we are in different times. We walked out of this hall today, we will see many distractions from our Christian life. You know, at work, we maybe at times when work colleagues will encourage us to do something which is, you know, will divert our attention to our way of life as a Christian. So left, right, and center, we have many distractions. We have to make a decision each time, which there are plenty of options, and many of which will make us astray to what is acceptable in the sight of our God and our Lord Jesus. Many decisions we made was a mistake already, and we know that. And every day of our life in this world is a battle against man's principles and God's way of thinking. So our beliefs are being tested many times, and every time we are called to participate in the calling of this world. But we have been so patient, and maybe we continue to hold fast to the Lord Jesus as our only Savior, like what Paul is teaching here. And we also know that God works in our lives, and all we need to do is to let Him work with us by trying to give in to His desire. Not our own will, but His will and His desire for us. And we know that we always fail in that. But if we are aware of that, if we are always thinking about that, insofar as we are thinking about the bad things that we're doing, and in our conscience aware that we, you know, that we fail to abide in His footsteps, and may we also make that same radical choices and commitments like the brethren in Philippi, who chose only our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, rather than the world and their surroundings and their desire. And of course, with God's blessings and in our prayers, we chose rightly for Him. And Paul here wrote to the Ecclesia right after it was established. And Paul addressed the first century converts like that Lydia and her household, the jailer and his family. Because if we go to the book of the Philippians chapter 1, we'll go after that. I'll bother a bit for Philippians. And in chapter 1, verse 3, it says that I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. So he remembered those brethren and sisters and all the fellowship as a personally acquainted with Paul. And in verse 5, it says, therefore, we for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. So the first time they met was in Acts 16, and Paul visited them again after 5 years, and here in Philippians chapter 1 verse 6, he said in verse 6, being confident of this very thing, that He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. So he's writing to people who knew him personally, who in verse 30 of Philippians said, having the same conflict which he saw in me, and now here to be in me. Again in chapter 2 and in of Philippians, and chapter 2 and verse 12. It says, therefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. And they have been in the presence of Paul. Chapter 3, verse 17, continuing. Paul said, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as ye have us for an example. And on chapter 4 and in verse 9, those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me do, and the God of peace shall be with you. So I think Paul lives right after the earthquake. So right after that, they got into prison, they been taken out of prison. I think, you know, they fled so quickly. And I think that's one of the reasons why Paul writes to them, because he left suddenly and would like to encourage the new ecclesia there. So again, reading, continuing from chapter 4 in verse 2 of Philippians, Paul writes about the two women, Euodias and Syntyche. So I beseech Euodias and beseech Syntyche that they be of the same mind in the Lord. And verse 3, and I entreat you also through your fellow, help those women which labor with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other my fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life. And then we probably noticed that Paul's letter to Philippians is also full of military military ideas. In chapter 1, going back to Philippians chapter 1, and in verse 24, it says, abide in me, abide in the flesh, is no needful for you, or abide is similar to when, same word when you say all in line, or stay in the queue. And in verse 12 of chapter 1, fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the advancement. So it's kind of like furtherance or the advancement of the army. That's what, in a way, you know, it means. And in verse 25, and having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with you all for your furtherance. Again, advance in terms of military sense. In verse 17, it's talking about defense. And in verse 30, it's talking about the conflict of battle. And in chapter 2, verse 12, it's talking about the presence of military commander. Verse 14, it says, without murmurings and disputings. It means do not grumble. When in military sense, make complaints, do not complain. And in verse 25, it actually says they're my fellow soldiers. So all these military terms he used is teaching us that for us, our spiritual life is also a battle, and we are under the rule of our Lord Jesus Christ as our commander. But Jesus is saying we are not part of military or any government rulership anymore. But we are part of the new way, the radical way that Jesus is leading us to follow. It is not the tradition of our old ways. It is not our past religions and our past way of life. But for us to now follow and apply that new way that Jesus is leading us to, based on his true doctrine and a new commandment, the one true way that will lead us to a promise of eternal life and eternal salvation. And we too may change our attitude towards life now, because after our baptism we choose which side we are on to radically give ourselves to the Lord Jesus and realize as a good soldier that this is everything now for us. So if we think of all those allusions to the situation in Philippi and military colony and after Ecclesia and the family of the Roman soldier, it just shows again that the book of Philippians was really written right to a group of people who Paul knew. So the people who we read in Acts chapter 16 as well, and in chapter 2 of Philippians, we have a hymn there about greatness of Jesus. We read that in Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. He said, Let this mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus. So, Paul is saying that the mental attitude of Jesus in his time of suffering should be ours too. And this is written in poetry and rhyming poetry, that here is the whole difficult passages from verse 6 to verse 11. And we read about Paul and Silas singing hymns in Philippians when they're in prison in Acts 16 verse 25. And because the whole letter is so tied back to Acts 16, that the hymn that Paul and Silas were singing in jail was probably actually the same hymn and the kind of like the words that were given, that they given the words to that hymn. And he had in Philippians chapter 2, when they were in jail, they're clearly suffering from Christ, and so they sung a hymn which reminded them that the mind of Jesus and his time of dying was to be there now, what was done to Jesus. So it was, in essence, done to Paul and Silas. They were beaten. We know that Jesus was beaten, and when we read in chapter 16 of Acts, in verse 23, and when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safe. So it's the same word also that used in Luke 23 and in verse 26. And on him they laid the cross that he might bear it after Jesus. So there's a lot of reference from Acts back to the Gospel of Luke about the cross was laid on Jesus's, you know, stripes were laid on them. So the cross was laid on Jesus, and of course, by his stripes we are healed. It talks about in Isaiah chapter 53 a lot. And it's very much a language of the crucifixion. And then back to Acts 16 and verse 24, we are told that they fastened their feet to the feet of Paul and Silas, were fastened into the stocks. So the authorized version says, well, looking at the Greek, well, the word stocks is not really the right translation. It is the Greek word Simon. And that's the word usually translated tree. And it is commonly used in the Acts of the Apostles for the tree, as in the cross of Jesus. And they slew Jesus and hung him on a tree. And there are more references there in Acts 5:30, Acts 10:39, Acts 13:29. And there are more references about the tree as a crucifixion at our shoes. So Paul's and Silas's feet were made fast onto the tree, exactly what happened to Jesus. And then there was an earthquake in verse 26. We know that there was an earthquake when Jesus died, so you see what happened there, that they were in prison and they saw some similarities between the sufferings of Jesus and what they were going through. So they started singing, you know, hymn that's in Philippians chapter 2. And as if they are saying, look, let's have the mind of Jesus and the mind that we had when he was suffering on the cross, because we are living out his sufferings. And then there's an earthquake, as if God was saying, okay, I confirm that in your desire to see yourself as Christ crucified. And it may be the same for us here. Each time we break bread and if we drink, we hear on Sunday we break bread and drink wine. And as we break bread, as that bread become part of ours, and the wine is the symbol of his blood, and becomes in a small way, basically part of us. And we are showing that I really want to be like Jesus on the cross. And he there is my pattern in all my sufferings. And I am living out the part of when he was in his cross. And that I am fellowshipping with him and putting my mind into him. As Paul said, he's suffering so that if we suffer with him, we shall also be with him. So that death and resurrection and their desire to be like that, just as your desire and my desire to connect ourselves with the death and sufferings of Jesus, that we also might live with him through Christ, through his death and resurrection. And this was responded to by God, and then he confirmed them in that by the earthquake. So the similarity with the crucifixion of Jesus, Paul could not have, you know, orchestrated this, because who could? The earthquake was felt by everyone and the guards, and I think people also perceive that this is this man with a free pass onto the wall. And in a sense, they are like Jesus, because the prisoners heard them, and of course, you know, they didn't see what happened to Jesus, then God, but it's probably all over the news, and they heard about it. And because the prisoners heard them, and of course, there were thieves also in the prison. And there were thieves in the way when Jesus crucified. And one of them at least perceived also that truly this is the Son of God, which is the jailer. And they know they have done nothing wrong, of course. And as a centurion of the cross, he was also persuaded, just like the jailkeeper. So he was also a centurion. So that is then very similar to when the Lord Jesus had that experience in the cross. In verse 22, magistrates rent off their clothes. We know that at Jesus' time, they rent off their clothes. Verse 23, laid many stripes to them. In verse 26, this is, I think, where we get the huge significance. There was a great earthquake, and everyone's bonds were loose. Just as through the death of Jesus, all the shackles that are on us spiritually are loose. And we become free to choose and serve God. And we now have that hope in Jesus. When Jesus died, he freed us from our imprisonment to sin and death. So why then didn't everybody run away in that jail? Why then didn't all the prisoners bolt? Well, they did not, because they were transfixed by these two guys who were, as it were, the Jesus of that time, who was crucified to them. And it wasn't only to the Philippians, also in Galatians we read. If we go to Galatians chapter 3, verse 1, all foolish Galatians, who have bewitched you that ye should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ had been evidently set forth, crucified among you. So Paul says Christ was seen for crucified among you, and he means in my life amongst you. And you saw Jesus crucified. And not many people seen Jesus. People who were in Paul's time surely didn't see that happen. But they heard of that kind of, you know, events and know the story, and those who did see Paul and Silas experience in the prison can kind of like relate, oh, that is what happened. I understand about death and resurrection of Jesus now because of these two believers. And then finally, in verse 30, in the Authorized Version, the prison keeper says to them, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they say, "Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ." So the Greek word "sirs," translated kurios, when he says to them, "Sirs," it could have been translated, "Lord, what must I do to be saved?" So, was he speaking to them or Jesus? There's ambiguity to it, but he says, "Lord," or "says," it could be to Jesus, and it could have been to Paul as well. But the point is that Paul and Silas were, as it were, they're kind of like their savior at the time. They say, "Believe in the Lord, believe on this Lord that we serve, and you will be saved if you do follow them." So Jesus and the Father will confirm our desire, your desire to be part of Him, to be really living out what we are doing now in a symbol, in this taking of bread and wine. And our desire to understand our own sufferings in terms of His, to relate all the sufferings, that it's part of our belief in Him, that we have to go through sufferings. And to recognize Christ's suffering. And He will work by providence like He did with Paul and Silas and the jailer, with the earthquake to confirm us with that. And if by God's will we are alive when the Lord comes, there will be a great earthquake also. This is to herald our Savior's return, or to confirm us with that works that Jesus did for us. And that will bring other people also, like those in prison, the prison keeper to Him, and maybe remember to offer hymns as well, and psalms, and when that happened, to confirm the sufferings of Jesus, and our Redeemer will come to welcome us in His kingdom.